Blog Talk Radio.
How's it going, guys? It's Evan with Lee, Keaton Lee's Real Talk Show. Apologize for butchering that. I'm not sure what episode it is, but today's my first time hosting it. So, you know, very excited to be given this opportunity to host it and, you know, just show you guys what I can do. But, you know, want to introduce, you know, my co-host, Keys, Lee. How you guys doing? All right, well, let them get in, and we got a bunch to talk about this, you know, this episode. A bunch of, you know, MMA happened this week, you know, specifically with the UFC 255 pay-per-view, you know, headlined by Deiveson Figueiredo and Valentina Shevchenko. So, you know, talk about a little bit of that, and yeah, just wait for our guys to get in here, and you know, we'll get it going. Anybody here yet? All right. Keys is almost on his way, so it's just me right now. I don't know what Lee's doing. He might be busy, you know, especially with the holidays coming up tomorrow, Thanksgiving. You know, happy Thanksgiving to everyone. Just want to make sure y'all know that. Want to appreciate y'all for being here on the show today to, you know, enjoy it with me. And soon to be Keys, hopefully Lee at some point. But, you know, just quick breakdown, you know, for you guys. You know, we go through the main card, UFC 255, you know, while we wait for Keys to get on. So we'll break down, yeah, like I said, we'll break down the main card. Here we go. Let me just bring it up real fast. Some technical difficulties, know how it is. All right, guys. Open up the main card. You know, we had Mauricio, we had Shogun versus Paul Craig coming in. It was a rematch from the previous fight from, I think, I want to say last year at some point. It went to a draw. I think it was a last-minute replacement was Paul Craig. And it was actually a pretty fun fight. This go-around, Paul Craig got the absolute best of Shogun and was able to get a second-round TKO knockout. And he moves up the ranks. You know, it's not looking good for Shogun in his career. I'm not sure, not really sure what's next for him. You know, I've heard Dana White say some stuff about he should, you know, probably think about retiring. You know, what's honestly, what's really next? You know, he hit the pinnacle of the sport, you know, former champion in, you know, multiple organizations, I'm sure. And you go back down his record. He was on a 3-fight win streak back in 2015 to 17, but, you know, you're not looking at the top of the crop of talent. And then, you know, his, you know, in 2018, you know, he lost one draw, one loss, but it just didn't work for me. It didn't do enough for me to, you know, say he should keep going. 27-12, you know, 6 KO losses, 39 years old. You know, no disrespect to Shogun. I don't want to say, you know, you don't deserve to stay around, but, you know, it's all about health. It's all about your, you know, are you healthy? Can you compete? You know, healthy, but we'll see. One more attempt. Keys, you here yet? Not yet. All right. It's my first time, guys. I know. Having a good time. Just talking. But yeah. So you guys know that one. Shogun took that victory. Paul Craig took that one. Moves up the ranks. Second fight on the main card at UFC 255 with Caitlin Chookagian versus Cynthia Calvillo. This matchup was a little weird because Cynthia Calvillo, I believe, was supposed to fight Lauren Murphy back on the Khabib Gaethje card. But due to, I think someone's here. Keys, you here?
I'm here.
Is it Lee?
Yeah, buddy.
How's it going, man? How we doing?
Oh, man, we doing good, man. Go ahead. I'm listening. You good?
No. All right, everybody, you know, everybody, this is, you already know who this is. It's Lee, you know, the true host of the show. But, man, we just breaking down. You know, we're breaking down the UFC 255 card and waiting for Keys to get here. Whenever you guys get here, appreciate y'all.
I got to ask you, though, Evan, you just brought it up. How did you feel about Shogun Hua tapping the strikes to Daniel Craig? How did you feel about that?
I was saying, you know, you might have not caught the tail end of what I was saying, but a lot of people have been talking about Shogun retiring, specifically Dana White, but, you know, Dana White says a lot. But regardless, you know, Shogun being someone who came from Pride, when they're doing soccer kicks and knees to the head, and they're lethal in Pride, and then he's tapping to strikes against someone who's considered a grappler more than a striker. Now, man, I don't like to see that. That makes me scared for his health. That concerns me for his well-being at 39 years of age. You know, not being able to really hang with the top 15, because they were ranked 14, 15, and I don't like it. You know, Shogun, he's got nothing left to prove to me, to anyone else. He's done everything in the sport that I think he needs to. He won the belt. I think it's time for him to retire. What do you think?
Man, actually, I thought he should have retired a while back. It's funny how, I don't know whether or not you was watching UFC back then. It was funny how Ben Laban was just getting murdered in the octagon, and Dana White basically forced him out of the UFC. But nowadays, it's like he's scared or he's reluctant to, you know, to chauffeur these guys to the door. I mean, Anderson Silva, Shogun Rua, you know, Diego Sanchez, some of these guys, man, you know, you got to rescue them from themselves. Although that doesn't mean that they won't go sign with another organization, but at the same time, you don't want them looking bad in your organization, whereas they're a shell of themselves. Like Chuck Liddell went out in UFC, whether he was getting knocked out, finished. So I think sometimes the organization has to step in and do what the fighters can't do themselves. You know, I was listening to MMA Tonight the other day on satellite radio, and I want to say it was Jimmy Smith and Ryan McKenna. And I want to say Jimmy Smith was like, He said that was a bad way to go out by Shogun. He was like, why he didn't roll to his side or do something like that? And I was like, well, first of all, the way Daniel Craig had him, there was no way for him to roll to his side because he had him totally flattened out on his stomach. But that being said, it's like, man, it was just a bad look for Shogun. If you actually look at the Shogun John Jones first fight, when John Jones beat him, he was actually tapping in that fight too. If you actually watch it towards the end, he was kind of tapping to John also to strike. So, but I'm with you, man. You know, I'm definitely worried about his health. You know, and like I said, it might be time for the UFC to like help some of these older guys to you know, help them out of the organization. I don't care if you got to get them a job within the organization, but you got to get them off the octagon.
Yeah, and I think it's good that I think it's actually a good thing that, you know, Bellator looked at it, and, you know, Scott Coker said, you know, he said it was more or less, he said, we're happy with our roster currently, basically meaning we don't want you. we're cool with who we have. And I think that's actually good because, like you just said, you kind of need the organization to step in and be like, look, like we're not doing this. You know what I mean? And I'm actually kind of surprised that Bellator took that stance because we know them to be the guys who usually take those kinds of fighters and try to make them into their star. You know, but I mean, I guess it's a different situation with Silva where he only has one win in the past 8 years. And I didn't even know that until they said it the other day, that he only had one win in 8 years. And I was like, oh, my goodness, because he's had a good number of fights. Well, I mean, he hasn't had – I think he was suspended for a while. So a lot of
that
time
he was suspended like 2 years, though.
I want to say it was longer than that. I want to say he was suspended like 3, maybe 4 years.
Yeah.
Because I know – I think he was the second time – it was a second time offense for a banned substance. I'm pretty sure when the last time he got – last time he got suspended.
Yeah.
But still, one win since 2012, that's really bad. And he had, I mean, especially in his Adesanya fight, he looked like he still had it in him. in this Cannonier fight, the way he went out, I was like, all right, I was kind of like done seeing him fight, especially since he injured himself again, you know, and it was an injury to his, you know, a part of his leg where he already, you know, we've already seen. Yeah, exactly. We've already seen him go through it worse, but, you know, to re-injure, you know, a part of his leg, which I'm pretty sure he did in the Cannonier fight, and then, you know, the way he looked in this last one when he fought, who did he fight? He fought Uriah Hall. And, I mean, I thought in the early rounds he looked good, but it's not even that. It's just, I mean, we don't need to see Anderson Silva. I mean, he's 45. We don't need to see. I mean, I don't even think he should be fighting at 45. I feel like that's pretty old to be fighting still and booking a guy like that for fights. So, I mean, especially the way I feel like he slowed down significantly. I think his body's kind of done fighting, if you ask me. I don't think he's, you know what I mean? It's a good time to stop a guy like that. I'm glad that they're all kind of pushing him out, you know, and saying no to that.
Hey, Evan, let me ask this question since we're on this topic. How y'all feel about Jose Aldo? Do y'all think he's seen his better days? Do y'all think he still has some good fights in him? Because one thing I noticed about Jose is, remember when he was out here being a beast, he was using leg kicks like there was no tomorrow. Now he don't even throw leg kicks no more. So how do y'all think Jose bought at the end of his rope too?
Keith, you want to go first? You want me to go first?
Yeah, I mean, the thing is this. I'm going to make it short. Aldo is another guy where it just looks like in a portion of the fight he looks good, and then, you know, the other half of the fight he really doesn't look good. And it was like, that's what I thought in his fight with Jan. I thought, you know, early on, I was like, okay, Aldo still looks, you know, like he's in there. And then, you know, later, I feel like round two, round three, I was like, nah, I really don't like the way he looks in there anymore. And that seems to be the way that it is in all his fights now. It's, you know, after the first round, you know, maybe second round of all his fights now, it just seems like he fades so bad. And it's like, I don't even think it's a cardio thing. I think he's getting to that point. You know what I mean? And I really don't think, I mean, if Aldo's going to keep fighting, I don't think Aldo's quite where Silva is. You know, Aldo's a good amount younger than Silva too. I'm pretty sure Aldo is like 34 or 35 max, but and then Silva's 45. So I mean, they're very much, you know, that's a good age difference right there. But I don't think Aldo's quite where Silva is, but I do think Aldo, I don't think he's, you know, they're putting him in title fights and all this stuff at 135. I don't think that's where he is at all. I don't think he's a championship competitor. You know, I think he needs to be, you know, given certain fights. He's at that point where he should be given, you know, not want to say lower level fights, but he's not, you know, a championship competitor. If they think he's just going to keep coming in and doing that, I think you're just going to see him lose and lose over and over again, to the point where the UFC will end up cutting him like they just did Silva.
I agree. Aldo has definitely seen better days. You know, it's crazy to see, you know, he was 25 and 1 when he met Conor McGregor. That was his official record. And after Conor, he's just, you know, got a win back against Frankie, but then the double loss to Max, he beat up Jeremy Stephens and Renato Moicano, but then the Volkanovski loss, and then he went down to bantamweight Marlon, which he won that fight. It was just bad judging on that one. And then the Peter Yan fight wasn't bad, and genuinely he looked pretty good, you know. But like Aldo's style, his style of fighting, I just don't think it's gonna work anymore. It's, you know, he wants to just throw those, you know, those heavy hands, and that's why he gasses out so quickly. And granted, he used to be able to go five rounds. You know, he did it with Mendez. He did it with Edgar twice. But no, I agree with both. You know, like he said, he's 34 to be exact. You know, he's seen better days. But he wants to keep fighting. 34 is, you know, to some, that's not old in the game, but when you think of how long Jose's been fighting for, you know, how much damage his body's taken in the last few years, it's a lot. But with all that being said, he does have a fight coming up. He's going to fight Chito Vera on the Edwards Jemaya card. So, you know, they're not throwing him a bone on this one.
Woo!
And that's a terrible fight. That's a terrible fight. I'm going to say that right now. That is a terrible, bad matchmaking. Bad matchmaking. Oh, my goodness gracious. And that is actually a sin. That is a sin that they even made that kind of fight. You could not have fed him to the wolves any more than that. Like, oh, my goodness. And I want to say another thing. I watch MMA World a lot. Shout out to MMA World on YouTube. I really love you guys, this channel. I think MMA World is super dope. I've been watching them for like 2 years, 2-3 years now. I love their content. That's where I find out a lot of that's where anybody can find out a lot of news. But anyways, I was watching MMA World, and they were saying that Sean O'Malley announced his fight for UFC 258, the Usman versus Burns undercard. Sean O'Malley is going to return. That's the card after McGregor. And I just think it's kind of bogus that he's not going to fight Chito, and we're going to feed Aldo to him instead. Do I think Aldo can beat him? Do I think he can beat Marlon Vera? 0%. No, not at all. No, I don't. Because if you told me you're going to put even like $20 on Aldo beating Marlon Vera, I would tell you it's a bad bet. Because he's not going to beat that guy. He's just not going to beat that guy. If he does beat him, then I'm wrong. But I really think that he does not have a shot in that fight whatsoever. Marlon Vera is a beast. You know what I mean? That's a bad fight. And I think it should be Sean O'Malley should be rematching Marlon Vera. I think that should be the fight. I mean, especially a guy who was undefeated. You know, if you're undefeated, and I really question that. If you're undefeated and then you lose, isn't it your job to rematch the guy? But now Sean O'Malley is going to take a different fight. So really understand that. But you guys go ahead. That's my piece.
Actually, I didn't know Aldo was fighting Vera, and I totally agree with you. That's a bad fight. But at the same time, you know, the UFC, I think they still got Aldo ranked in the top 10. So as long as he's ranked in the top 10, he's going to keep fighting all these good fighters, man. But I think with Sean O'Malley and Vera, I think you have to wait a little while. You know, you got to let Sean O'Malley get some wins, probably let Vera get some more wins, and then you can bring that fight back. But, you know, kind of, you know, man, not to be the dead horse, and Evan, we'll turn it back over to you. I'm with Evan, you know, just because Aldo is young, quote-unquote, in age, he has been fighting a long time, so You know, his body has. And then him going down to 135, which I never understood. I thought he would go up to 155. But in a way, I'm kind of glad he didn't go up to 155 because I don't see him competing at 155. So, you know, he was at 135, so he would have went up to 145. But still, I don't see him actually competing at 145 either, so. But all right, Evan, man, it's yours, man. What else we got tonight?
All right, well, you know, since we started it, I want to keep it going. You know, since it's actually a topic of discussion that I think is very important that we discuss, and that is the continuation of breaking down the UFC 255 main card. Now, we are going to skip right on past Tim Means. We're just going to say Tim Means, great performance. You did exactly what everyone wanted you to do, and you beat the crap out of someone that doesn't deserve to be where he is. Moving on,
exactly.
We got co-main event, Valentina Shevchenko taking on Jennifer Maia. Now, there's not much to really talk about this. A lot of people were immediately trying to say that Valentina got exposed and she's not as good as she is, and it's like she got, like, if you watch that fight back, she lost one round because she got out grappled and she got taken down, but she didn't suffer any damage when she got taken down. That was just it. She just got out grappled and then just got laid on for the whole round. And everyone's like, oh, she got exposed. It's like, you have to crowd her and you can't let her set her footing. And it's like, but even that didn't work. And she went on to win a 4-1 decision. My question to you guys is, with this win, Valentina Shevchenko, right now, I think they're looking to book her against Jessica Andrade, who has come up from 115 to 125. Do you think that is the proper matchup? Or do you think Shevchenko should wait for when Weili Zhang fights Rose? And if Zhang wins, should they do a super fight? What are your thoughts?
All right, I'll go first on this one, Keys. First of all, Zhang is not going to beat Rose, so let's pump the brakes on that. That's right, I said it. Rose is going to beat Weili Zhang, so we can pump the brakes on that. In a way, I kind of like the Andrade fight, but, you know, why are we punishing Chookagan, man? We punishing her because she lost to Jennifer Maia. It wasn't like she lost badly, but she did lose. Why are we punishing Chookagan and we giving Andrade a title fight after just one fight in the weight division? I would rather see Chookagan get the fight versus Andrade. I'd rather have Andrade have one more fight at the new weight, and then we'll go from there. So, but the Andrade fight, do I think she could beat her? No. I think she probably hang in there for probably two rounds and then get dominated in the championship rounds. That's how I see the fight going. Maybe if we get submitted or knocked out in the later rounds. But, you know, the UFC is probably rewarding her for going to a new weight class. But I think Valentina beats her as well.
Okay, so, Lee, so we can confirm you feel like, so you think she shouldn't fight Andrade because you feel like Andrade can't beat Valentina.
I think Andrade should not get the next title fight. I think she should have one more fight at the new weight. And I think Chookagan should get the next fight. Although she did lose to Maia, it wasn't like Maia beat her up or dominated her really, really bad. Maia had a good performance. So I think Chookagan should be in there before Andrade. But if
Wait a second. Hold on. Chookagan should get in there versus who?
Shevchenko.
She already lost to Shevchenko, no?
She didn't fight her. Did she fight her?
Yeah, no, they did. Yeah, Shevchenko.
Yeah, I thought
Shevchenko and Chookagan.
I just won. They fought this year.
They fought on the Jones-Reyes card. They were the co-main event. And it wasn't like a very, you know,
No. It's the girl that lost to Jennifer Maia then that I got her mixed up with. But go ahead,
JoJo Calderwood.
Yeah, there we go, Calderwood.
Because then I was like, wait a second, Chookagan got dominated. And then she got knocked out by Andrade. I was like, why should she? I was really confused with that statement.
I got my C's mixed up, Calderwood and Chookagan.
Definitely easy to.
Yeah, but go ahead, Keys, on you.
Yeah, so I was just saying, I asked if you thought Andrade, you were saying you thought she can't beat Valentina. I mean, and I think I'm sold on that too. I mean, because if you look at it, I mean, Andrade usually thrives in like shorter fights. You know, I feel like she's more of like a 3-round fighter. You know, I don't think she's really a championship fighter where she's going to thrive in, you know, 4 or 5-round fights, you know what I mean? And And even at that, I don't think she's the level of striker that Shevchenko is. You know, I don't think – I mean, she's very – I feel like she's more of a brawler. Like, she's not – Andrade, I don't really see her as, like, a boxer. I feel like she's more of a brawler, and she likes to or she tends to do, you know, her best work in those shorter fights and those kind of, like her two – oh, I feel like her first Rose fight, like, more so – describes like that type of fight. I mean, and when you go back to like her Joanna fight was really, you know, much earlier in her career compared to where she is now. But if you like look at those two, I feel like that's like the big difference there. And even Joanna kind of got dominated by Valentina too. But I feel like an MMA math doesn't always work. But I just don't think that Andrade is anywhere close to Shevchenko in skill, if we're being honest. I think it's just interesting to talk about because the UFC knows there's really no one else in that division, and Valentina pretty much, you know, is leagues better than everybody. So I feel like if they want to have her defend her belt again in that division, which I feel like we're pretty much arriving at the point where she should, you know, look to fight other champions or you know, in another division or whatever it may be, you know, then they would go for the Andrade fight just because Andrade is a name and she's, you know, she's had moments that fans remember, you know, so I feel like that's the reason why the UFC would motion for that fight. But at the same time, like really competitively, I really don't think that would be competitive. Decision wise, I don't think they would be competitive.
All right. So I want to bring something up real fast. We're not going to talk about it. I just want to bring it up because I don't want to forget it because I want to talk about it after we finish this quick recap on the main card. But what I want to bring up is I'm seeing an article from MMA Junkie, I believe it is, or MMA Fighting. And it's an article about Jan Blachowicz, our light heavyweight champion, already planning a jump to heavyweight. And he plans on being the first guy to beat John Jones. And the one thing I want to say about that real quick is already he's planning his escape from 205 from that ASS whooping from Izzy coming up. And he's already planning his escape to heavyweight, which I know makes no sense. But we'll get back to that. Let's just finish this UFC 255 main card. We got one more fight. That fight is the main event. We had Deiveson Figueiredo defending his title against Alex Perez. Clearly, we all know what happened. You know, Deiveson got the submission win, fastest submission in flyweight history. You know, my immediate thoughts on this one is it's a great win, and I don't want to be that guy, but I'm going to be that guy. Go back and watch that fight. There was a lot of fence grabbing by the champion, and some can say that led to his victory, or at least helped his victory. Nonetheless, he got the win, and he's got another fight booked already, next pay-per-view. What are your guys' thoughts on our champion at 125?
Go ahead, Keith.
Nah, you go first.
All right. I thought Perez looked good, really, really good early. I thought his striking was crisp. I thought his combination was on point. I think he caught Figueiredo off guard a little bit with the amount of punches he was throwing with his attack. Like Evan said, I don't even think he got warned about grabbing the fence. I may have missed it because I had the sound down, but I don't even think he got warned. But, you know, you make one mistake in the octagon, man, and it could lead to a finish. And that's what happened, man. Perez got caught, although he tried to fight through it. I thought he was going to get out of it, but then, you know, he tapped. Figueiredo is looking really, really good at 125. I think one thing we got to keep in mind is that he failed to make weight before. So, you know, we definitely got to keep our eye on that. But I think he's got a lot more professional since missing weight and he couldn't win the belt. But Perez did a good job. I thought he had a I actually predicted him to win. And actually, he was making my prediction look pretty good in the first round until he got caught. But speaking on Moreno and Davidson heading the next pay-per-view, I'm totally against that. You know, but I'm going to go ahead and let Keys jump into what he got to say. Go ahead, Keys.
So you said you're against them main eventing the pay-per-view, right?
Yep.
Now, I'm going to try to guess what your reason is, and feel free to let me know if I'm wrong, but this is what I'm thinking. So I think that they should not be the main event, even though it's a title fight. Tony Ferguson and Oliveira be the main event. I feel like that is way bigger, I mean, of a fight. I hate to say it. I know Figueiredo looks great, and they're trying to bring the flyweight back up, but, like, come on, son. Like, come on, son. Like, Tony Ferguson versus Charles Oliveira is not the main event. Like, what are we doing here? What are we doing here? Like, nah, man, nah. Because we, yo, Tony Ferguson got to be the main event, man. If he's on the card and it's not like Khabib or like McGregor that's going to be above him, you can't tell me that, like, he's not going to be the main event. Like, especially versus that opponent. That is an unbelievable fight. Like, if that fight is not a classic or, like, a fight of the night type of situation, like, or doesn't at least have, like, some kind of finish, like, of the night, that I would be shocked, okay? That fight is going to be unbelievable. And the stakes are through the roof. So I think those two fights should be on separate events and let them both main event. Make December 12th, that'll be 256. Main event will be Ferguson and Oliveira, and then probably have Figueiredo be the main event on, like, a fight night card on, like, the week after that. That's probably what I would vouch for. And I know we're trying to bring the flyweights back up, so putting the main event on a fight night is probably not the move. But at the same time, like, I feel like Figueiredo's already brought himself to where he needs to be, and there's already eyes on him regardless. So I feel like whether he fights on a fight night or on a pay-per-view isn't going to change that much. Like, he already has – I feel like he already gained a lot of fans, you know, just on the performances he's been putting on.
Well, no, that ain't the reason why the Brandon Moreno-Davidson fight. I think Moreno took a lot of punishment in his last fight against Royval, whereas Figueiredo took – hardly any punishment. And I just think that you're asking Moreno to have another camp after he just took, I mean, that fight was really, really good. And I just don't think it's fair on Moreno. And I think Moreno is going to end up pulling out of the fight anyway. So I think you're going to get Charles Oliveira versus Tony Ferguson as the main event anyway. So, you know, you get your main event. I don't know if Moreno pulls out, whether or not we get Charles and Tony for five rounds, or it'll stay three rounds. But hopefully, you know, we can get Charles and Tony for five rounds. But I am already banking on Moreno pulling out.
You know, I didn't expect that. Honestly, I didn't think about that, you know. And another, actually, I know you said it, Lee, that we do actually have to worry about, you know, Davidson has missed weight before, you know, and this is obviously a quick turnaround, you know. How heavy is he going to get, come, you know, returning, you know, just all kinds of stuff. But, like, you know, me and Keys were talking on the phone before the show, and one thing that, you know, we talked about was a quick turnaround for, you know, a champion or a challenger. And, you know, the topic of discussion was, you know, Derek Lewis. You know, he went three rounds with Volkov, primarily getting his bottom beat, and then, you know, last second knockout, won the fight. And then that was UFC 229 again. And then at UFC 230, he fought DC for the title. And I was telling Keys, when someone offers you that title shot, you got to take it. In the UFC, with how fast they're building stars, you got to take that title shot no matter what you can do. And I think that's where Moreno's head is at. You know, if they wait, you know, they'll, because if they wait and wait, you know, they might give it to Cody again, because Cody Garbrandt was, you know, was in line to get it. But that's actually something I want to talk about next. But real quick, it's an intriguing fight. I like the fight. You know, I'm very excited for Moreno to get the title shot, but let's see what happens. Hopefully we get that fight, and hopefully everything, you know, sticks together on that one. But moving on, I actually want to talk about something, because I read about it yesterday, and I feel kind of bad because I've been kind of bad-mouthing the guy for a little bit. But Cody Garbrandt, he actually got COVID, and he's been actually dealing with, like, some serious complications due to COVID, and it looks like we will not be seeing him for a while. And just want to get your guys' thoughts on, you know, when and if Cody does evidently return, do you see him, you know, getting an immediate title shot at 125 like he was, you know, promised, or do you think his return will be at 135?
First off, you know, Cody, speedy recovery, man. Hope you're taking all the necessary precautions to you know, beat this. Hope your family is well. You know, this COVID thing is nothing to mess around with. So wishing him all the best. But me personally, I didn't feel like he deserved the title shot at 125. I felt he should have had at least one fight at 125, you know, to see, you know, how he carries the weight, you know, how he looked with the weight. And then if he looked good, then you could possibly put him in a title fight. I just don't like moving guys, you know, they go down or go up and to a weight class. I don't like the idea of them immediately fighting for a belt, because we don't know how their body is going to react. So, that being said, hopefully when he comes back, he goes back to bantamweight and, you know, his rightful division. And he gets it, you know, he gets a couple fights down there. And, you know, maybe he can get back in the title picture at bantamweight.
So, I didn't know about that. Cody, I know he got COVID, but I didn't know it was like a really serious situation like that. I mean, obviously it's serious, but, you know, I didn't know it to that extent, like you're saying. I noticed that he said he could fight Figueiredo in March. I remember him tweeting that, so I just didn't know why. I didn't know what that times table was for. but, yeah, hopefully he – you know, hopefully he's, you know, hopefully he's doing, you know, doing whatever he has to do and staying healthy. You know what I mean? It's definitely a thing to be taken seriously. And hopefully, you know, I wish him a speedy recovery, you know, and that he gets better soon. I love watching, you know, Cody fight. He's a guy that I am very inspired by. So. I hope he gets better soon.
You know, we're here at the show. You know, we're all pulling for you, Cody. You know, just get better. Take care of your family. You know, do what's right. Do all that stuff. You know, we're gonna continue on. You know, I believe the title of the show. I forget what episode it is. But the title of the show. We want to talk about the lightweight tournament, and there's actually been a lot of updates that we've been talking about for the past few shows that I think we should talk about now. I think that's our main, you know, probably should be our main topic of the show. And, you know, I'll break it down real quick. So we mentioned it before in passing previously that Tony Ferguson is going to fight Charles Oliveira. That is now confirmed. That's a great fight. We've all been pulling for that fight. We've been waiting for Charles to get a good fight. We know Dustin and Conor are going to fight. That's clear. And now a fan-made poster that looks respectfully realistic to a UFC official poster. There is one Michael Chandler alongside Justin Gaethje. And I believe it's the same pay-per-view for the Conor Dustin fight. So as for our lightweight tournament, we got Conor and Dustin fighting, Tony and Charles fighting, Gaethje and Michael Chandler fighting. Out of the rankings, that leaves Dan Hooker without an opponent. Who?
Yo.
I know that's Lee. I have a feeling that's Lee clapping. I know that's not Keys. It's Lee clapping.
Oh, my God. Yo. Dan Hooker, oh, my God. Yo, that might be Lee's least favorite fighter in the entire UFC. I don't know of a guy that we've ever brought up that he had more of a dislike for than Dan Hooker. And he dislikes, I mean, he definitely had his disagreements, you know, about McGregor. And I even want to argue Dan Hooker, he might dislike even more than McGregor.
I want to get you guys' thoughts. Like, now, you know, we've been talking about the tournament, the lightweight tournament, for the past few shows. We're finally getting announcements. We're finally getting fights booked. Now,
and it's piecing together, man. It's piecing together. Y'all thought I was playing when I said that.
It's literally someone made a tweet. I don't know who it was, but they said the UFC is booking a lightweight tournament without booking a lightweight tournament. Like, they're not doing it Bellator style. They're just making the matchups, and they're just not saying it. But my question to you guys is, Michael Chandler versus Justin Gaethje, is that a smart move for Chandler to go up against Gaethje, or do you think the Tony Ferguson fight was a better option for him?
I think Chandler should have positioned himself to fight Dan Hooker. I think Dan Hooker would have been a better matchup for him. You know, I think taking on Gaethje, you know, coming off of a loss to Khabib, I don't know whether or not that was smart. But, you know, stylistically, you know what Gaethje's going to do. Gaethje is going to stand and bang with you. He's going to box you. He's not going to look to take you down. So if you can avoid his power, basically you can negate his fighting style. As you can saw against Khabib wasn't going to stand with him. He took him down every time he got. And basically, Gaethje couldn't handle that. So, but me, if I was Chandler, I probably would have positioned myself probably to fight Hooker, being that he was number five, and I probably would have stayed away from the Gaethje fight. But, you know, being that this is quote-unquote a tournament, I like it, you know. All the top guys are fighting each other. You know, I'm glad that Charles Oliveira squeaked in there over Dan Hooker. But, you know, that's just my personal feeling. But if you want to put Dan Hooker in there, I guess you can have him fight RDA, who just beat Paul Felder, and I think Hooker got a bogus win over Felder, so you can make sense of RDA versus Hooker. But I think all the right guys are in there, so I have no problem with it.
And this is one thing that I want to add to it, and I just was doing a little bit of research while we were talking to just make sure that this pick was legitimate. And I will say, I think it's extremely legitimate. And I was actually taken back by what I just found out about it. So now this might seem like it's out of left field, but I really don't think it is when you look at it. I think Dan Hooker, and I think this is a fight that he probably wouldn't take, because this guy I believe to be super dangerous and possibly a guy that – this could be a guy that a lot of guys have turned down fights against because of his skill set. Diego Ferreira. Dan Hooker should have to fight Diego Ferreira. This is the guy. And I don't think there's anybody else who should be in that mix. Because if you have three fights where you have six guys and Dan Hooker is the odd man out, he's number five, Diego Ferrer is number nine. That's nothing we haven't seen before, having a guy a couple ranks. I mean, I know he probably wouldn't take it because he wants some guy that's above him. But Dan Hooker is probably going to be sitting out a while waiting because you have to let all these fights play out and then the fights that are probably going to play out after that. Because to be honest with you, I don't think any of these guys above Dan Hooker are going to give a shit. And we don't even swear on the show, but I really don't think they're going to give a shit, you know, about fighting him, you know, after the fact. I think they're all just going to want to fight each other, win or loss. Like, these dudes are just Poirier, McGregor, Ferguson, Chandler, Gaethje, these dudes are just going to fight each other. Like, I don't think these dudes are going to fight a Dan Hooker. You know, he's just not, he's not, like, the notoriety is just not there. Like, he's not one of these, he's not in that mix. You know what I'm saying? And I think if he would have had fought, if he would have got the Chandler fight, then and won that, then he'd be in that mix probably. But I think he should fight Diego Ferreira. I think that's the fight. I mean, other than that, Charles Oliveira, number six, has a fight. You know, Rafael Dos Anjos just kind of got on the scene. I don't think he really deserves to be in that mix, even though they're putting him at number six. Paul Felder, you know, is coming off a loss, you know, and he hasn't, you know, looked stellar lately. He's coming off a couple losses, actually. So I think Diego Ferreira is the only guy, you know, number nine. He should be fighting Dan Hooker. I think that's the fight. He's actually, and for the record, fun fact, no one talks about this. Diego Ferreira's record is 17-2. His last fight, he submitted Anthony Pettis in the second round on the McGregor-Cerrone undercard, and he's currently on a six-fight win streak, and those fights are all in the UFC, and that's something that you don't often see because a lot of guys will be on a, you know, they'll say they're on a 10-fight win streak, and only two of those fights will have been in the UFC, and the other eight of them are for, you know, in organizations we've never, you know, backyard boxing organizations we never heard of. He has six-fight win streak all in the UFC. So I think this guy, this dude is legit. I think he needs to fight.
I agree. You know, just want to put that out there. I actually put up a tweet earlier today about talking about Diego Ferreira because I believe it was RDA who posted a tweet about asking who he should fight next. So I did my due diligence. I looked at the rankings, and as we just talked about, 1 through 4 are booked. So there's no one, you know, he's not fighting anywhere from there. Number 5, we just said it's Dan Hooker. That's an option. But I said it, and I was like, he could either fight Dan Hooker because it's an above ranking. He could fight Diego Ferreira, who's below him, but it's a better chance of getting that fight. And then number 13 would be the Islam fight, which was booked. Islam did have to pull out, but still, I think that's a good fight. I would like for, you know, just to be fair, it was booked. Islam was going to get a, you know, a main event opportunity, and that was, you know, sadly taken from him due to injury. So, you know, I think I'd like to see that fight, but I guess we'll see what happens. But, you know, I know the past few shows, I think the show has gone on a bit. You know, as my first time hosting, I don't want to go on too much longer, so you know, I'll wrap it up nicely with this one. But I would like to wrap up the show, you know, with the we got fights this weekend. You know,
we got 11 minutes to go.
Yeah, we got a couple minutes.
Yeah, we got like 11 minutes to go. You good?
All right, perfect. So yeah, I just want to talk about the upcoming card. We got Derek, Curtis Blaydes taking on Derek Lewis in the main event of a UFC fight night this weekend. It's a perfect fight for both of them. You know, they're kind of in a, I don't want to say a stalemate in their career, but like, you know, Lewis got his title shot, didn't go his way. Curtis Blaydes has 2 losses, and they're both to Francis, but like, if you watch his 2 losses to Francis, he didn't get knocked out cold. He wasn't sleeping. The first one was a doctor stoppage due to an eye injury. And the second one, he just lost his footing and couldn't catch it. But after the fight was stopped, he was good. Like, he was clean. He was like, what's good? I'm fine. So, you know, no disrespect to the fighters on the card, but other than Curtis Blaydes and Derek Lewis, there's not much really on the card that speaks volumes. So I'll ask you, gentlemen, what is your prediction for this main event at heavyweight? Who do you take, in Curtis Blaydes or Derek Lewis?
Go ahead, Keys.
All right, I'll go first. I'm taking Curtis Blaydes with no hesitation. I think this is a bad matchup for Derek Lewis. Very bad matchup. And the reason I say that is because we know he has virtually no ground game, and Curtis Blaydes is a very good wrestler, and we saw what happened when Derek Lewis got taken down versus Cormier. And I'm not saying Curtis Blaydes is DC, but he's still a high-level wrestler, and Lewis will be taken down quickly in this fight. And I'll give him that. He gets back up. When he gets taken down, Derek Lewis gets up. They always say that. You know, he gets up. He's very strong. You know, a lot of upper body strength. This dude gets right up. I give him that. But he's going to get taken down over and over and over again. And I don't think it's one of those things where, you know, it's going to be, oh, you know, Derek Lewis, you know, when he lands a shot, you know, Curtis Blaydes. Curtis Blaydes, you know, chin is not – he's not that chinny. You know what I mean? He gets knocked out, you know, by Francis Ngannou, who I believe to, you know, not only have a lot more power than – but also is a much more reckless striker. He's a much more dangerous striker. The way he swings wildly, you really don't see Derek Lewis do that. Derek Lewis is a much more, I don't want to call him calculated, but he likes to hit you with certain shots more like, is where Ngannou kind of will hit you with like a shot that he might not have even planned. Like, he kind of just swings fists, you know, and he just kind of like the way he fought, you know, Evan's favorite fighter, you know, Rosenstruck, Biggie Boy, you know, he kind of swung wildly and just like, sent him to the shadow realm, and that was just it. So I don't think Derek Lewis is really the kind of striker that's gonna knock Blaydes out. You know, he had that, and he's gonna get taken down over and over again. And I think Blaydes, I want to say my instinct says Curtis Blaydes by unanimous decision, but I'm actually gonna go out on a whim and say Curtis Blaydes third round TKO.
Wow. Okay.
I love my man Derek Lewis, man. I really do. But I think this being a 5-round fight definitely doesn't plays to his advantage, because he's going to have to, if he's going to win, he's going to have to dispose of Derek Lewis in the first two and a half, maybe 3 rounds. Anything after that, I think Blaydes dominates him on the mat. He's going to force Lewis to have to fight off his back, carry his weight, and keep trying to get to his feet. Blaydes is so good on the mat, man. Everything in me wants to pick Derek Lewis because I just love seeing the guy fight. But I think this matchup, like Key said, is definitely not good for him, unless he's been working on his ground game. If he's been working on his ground game, then, you know, he probably can prove us wrong. But, man, I got to go with Blaydes. I'm going to say Blaydes win a unanimous decision. He probably wins rounds 2, 4, and 5. I get Derek Lewis round 1s and round 3, but I think the longer the fight goes on, the more you have to lean towards Blaydes, man. And if Lewis has been working on his ground game, he has a chance. But if not, it's gonna get ugly towards the second half of the fight. But before I jump to you, Evan, I gotta say something. The co-main event with Anthony Smith and Devin Clark, I'm kind of surprised about this being the co-main event. after the way Anthony Smith looked against Glover Teixeira with his teeth falling out and all that good stuff. I'm kind of shocked he's back in the cage already. I really don't know how I feel about that. You know, I thought he should have took some time off, probably worked on his body, worked on, you know, adding some more weight. I'm just worried about him, man. I just think this is a quick turnaround for him, especially after the events of his last fight. So that's all I wanted to throw out there about the co-main event.
No. You're well in your ways. You know, a lot of people were actually surprised. And also, that wasn't the original co-main event. The original co-main event was supposed to be Renato Moicano taking on, I believe his name is Rafael Faiza, or I know I'm butchering it, and I apologize, but he's a kickboxer. And he's actually he fought recently, and he had like this Matrix moment where the guy went for kick and he like ducked back and like just missed, you know, he like leaned away and it was really cool.
Oh yeah, I remember that guy.
Yeah, he came from a different, I believe he was a kickboxer and he came to the UFC. You know, his debut did not go his way, but then moving forward, he's on a 2-fight win streak and he looks good. And that was supposed to be the co-main event, but that got pushed and has been rescheduled because of a COVID test. But regardless, yes, we now have Anthony Smith coming in as co-main event, and it's just all name recognition. You know, Anthony Smith is never in a boring fight, you know. And when I mean boring, regardless of, you know, he's beating someone's bottom, he's getting his bottom beat. You know, he's not in a boring fight. And that is the reason why he's coming event. But as far as the main event goes, guys, I am also going to take Curtis Blaydes. But if you go back and watch Derek Lewis's last fight against Alexei Oleinik, Lewis came out quick, came out fast, heavy hands, looked really good. In the grappling and, you know, getting caught in grappling, it's going to be different getting caught, you know, on the ground with Curtis Blaydes, you know, like Curtis Blaydes is going to wear on you. He's not going to try and squeeze out his arms and like, you know, just strangle you. He's going to wear on you and grind you out and, you know, really, you know, put it on you and then finish you. So I see probably a third round finish for Curtis Blaydes, or, you know, Derek Lewis comes out crazy and, you know, gives us another Volkov moment and knocks Curtis out. I mean, anything can happen, man. That is the sport of MMA, and that is Derek Lewis for you.
No. We can't accept it.
What's that?
We need a definitive pick. You cannot say either way. It needs to be a definitive pick.
All right, this is something, Evan, look,
this is an unspoken rule of Lean Keys Real Talk. This is an unspoken rule of our show. Lee knows this.
Unless you go to split draw.
What?
Unless you go to split draw.
you can go split draw, but you can't, if you're going to pick, when you're picking the fight, this dude says split draw. So if you don't pick a split draw, then it just be a definitive pick. You can't say if it's Ngannou versus Stipe, or either Stipe is going to wrestle Ngannou and win the fight, or Ngannou is going to knock him out. Mm-hmm. You got to pick one or the other.
All right, I respect it.
Who do you pick if it's definitively one or the other?
Getting called out, I like it.
Gun
to my head is Curtis Blaydes. Curtis Blaydes is just the better overall fighter, you know, technique and just well-roundedness. So, Curtis Blaydes by some fashion. That's it for me. I just want to say real quick, you know, I appreciate the opportunity to host the show this week. I hope I did a good job. I'm going to do better next time, you know, just got to get those jitters out of the way. This is Lee and Keys, Key and Lee, however you want to say it. I apologize. I should know it by now. Keys, any final words, please?
What was that? Oh, any final words?
Yes, sir.
Oh, okay, I got you. So I mean, it, you know, if anything, Lee usually has more final words than me. He's good at the final words thing. But I think it's all the years of wisdom he got. He got a lot more wisdom than the kid. But my final words is pretty much, I mean, tomorrow is Thanksgiving. I know not every country. I know we're one of the only countries that celebrates, if I think maybe the only country that celebrates Thanksgiving. But for people in the United States, I mean, Thanksgiving's tomorrow, so enjoy your Thanksgiving with, you know, however you want to do it. I'm not going to get into the political stuff, whether it's with your family or whoever. I'm not going to do all that. Just, I'd say be safe, you know, and you know, whatever. You know, I mean, I'm not going to do all that, but enjoy your Thanksgiving and, you know, with you know, whoever you may see, whoever you can or may see. And yeah, we got some good fights this weekend. I'm probably not going to be able to watch them. I know Mike Tyson is also having an exhibition fight, which the rules are complete bogus for.
Not doing it.
But I'm going to watch it. I'm going to watch it with my dad anyways, because, you know, I told him I'd watch it with him. And, you know, he loved Mike Tyson, you know, years ago. So I told him I'd watch it with him. I'm going to watch it with him. But I do think that, I mean, I understand why they're doing it, but I just think that rule set is just, it's super weak. And yeah, we don't have the time to go into that, but everybody have a good Thanksgiving and have a good rest of your week. And Evan, great job on the show. Great job, Evan, hosting this first show.
Yeah, man. Hey, Evan, good job, man. You'll get better in time. Don't worry about the jitters. You know, if you was to go back and listen to our first show, our first show probably was a train wreck, but, you know, we worked through it. But, you know, man, good job. You know, like I said, you'll get better with time. Actually, you did great tonight, in my opinion. Tomorrow is Thanksgiving. I just want to give a shout-out to our armed forces folks that are away from their family during the holiday seasons. Although you're away from your families, you're still in our heart. Keep your head up and keep defending this great country. Like Key said, the political part about Thanksgiving, you know, I look at it as a family day, man. Thanksgiving has always been a day of family where, you know, when I was in the military, me and my wife, you know, for the young folks that would happen to be away from their family, we open up our house to them. You know, they'd come over, eat, have a good time, you know, and all that good stuff. Just spending as much time with your family, you know, at the same time, you still got to be safe. With that being said, everybody have a happy holiday season. Take care of yourself. Take care of each other. Live, love, laugh. Live your life to the fullest. Tell somebody you love them and have one good laugh every day. Lee and Keys wishing everybody and Evan a happy holiday season. Enjoy, be safe. And as always, closing out. Peace!